We've heard a lot of supportive commentary here. I think we've also heard a considerable degree of frustration in certain quarters. As I said at the start, I'm going to indulge our panel for 5 or 10 minutes because I do want to give you an opportunity for one or two questions if you would like to take that opportunity. So we've got a few hands coming up here. First, the gentleman at the back there, and then to the gentleman here. If you can tell us who you are, where you're from, give us your question and who you want to address it to. Thank you.
Thank you, David. My name is Valery Kravchenko. I'm from National Institute for Strategic Studies of Ukraine. And my question will go to Ms. Rose Gutmüller. It will be linked with the security vacuum we have in Europe, in Eastern Europe, provoked by Russia, but not only, and with the lack of strategic decisions and even tactical decisions, how to react on such security vacuum. Actually, we believe in our membership, in membership of Ukraine in NATO, but we still understand that it's idealistic perception, because realistically, we don't have a consensus in NATO towards this situation, and at least while we're having the hot, unproclaimed war with the Russian Federation in the east of Ukraine, and very bad strategic situation, as Mr. Turchino said. And after the World War One, in
you
one war...
Get to the question, if you can, please.
Yep. After World War One, it was in one row with the Entente Cordiale, with the NATO of the time. It was found in 1920. This small Entente with Yugoslavia, with Romania and Czechoslovakia. What do you think about the perspective of small NATO with Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova? Is it a real plan and good plan how to stop this security vacuum in Eastern Europe?
Okay, thank you very much, Rose.
Thank you. It's okay? All right, thank you. Thank you for that very interesting angle of history, too, which I recollect but hadn't thought about for a while. But let me... I want to quickly answer your question, but basically by taking making a difference with two things you said. First thing, I don't think that there is a security vacuum in Eastern Europe. And I'm sitting next to the Minister of Defense of Lithuania. NATO has put in place 4 battle groups in the year since the Warsaw Summit in July of 2016. It was fantastic to watch, because I only arrived at NATO in October of 2016, but fantastic to watch how the entire NATO alliance came together to form these 4 battle groups. They are for deterrence and defense. They sometimes get criticized because they are for deterrence and defense. They are a tripwire. But I want you to know that in the run-up to our next summit, what we are focusing on is the follow-on forces. What do we need to do to be able to reinforce if we need to? What are all the decisions NATO needs to make about the command structure? What are the decisions we need to make about enablement in order to have air and sea as well as ground forces available? What are the decisions we need to have and the action we need to take with regard to military mobility? So I see nothing like a vacuum in the security of Eastern Europe. There is a lot of work going on to ensure that the security of Eastern and Central Europe, including of Ukraine, remains front and center. The other thing I wanted to say is, and it's the answer to your question, is it's not so idealistic for Ukraine to have Euro-Atlantic aspirations and to wish to join both NATO and the European Union. I think those are very important and realistic goals. But I'm not going to hide from you that you have a lot of heavy lifting to do before you are ready for NATO membership. Important reforms have to be carried out. They are the reforms of defense institutions, the security institutions, including the ministry, ministries represented here. And I think, you know, if I had one piece of advice for Ukraine, it is to keep the focus on reforms now, front and center. But your Euro-Atlantic aspirations are not idealistic. They are not by a long shot. They are realistic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very clear response there. Gentleman in the middle, please. Thank you. And then, no, at the back there. Further back. Yep. I think it's on.
Good morning, dear ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for this wonderful and most interesting discussion. If I could make a very brief remark and then a question. When Mr. Turchynov was speaking, he raised this issue to a certain extent. Jens Stoltenberg, Secretary General of NATO, in his annual report, his recent annual report, wrote page 69 that Ukraine will get support. My question is to Ms. Gittemüller. Suppose a negative scenario unleashes and Russian troops cross the border. What kind of support will Ukraine receive from the NATO countries? I think that it's not only me, the representative of expert community, who asked this question, but Ukrainian people would also like to know that.
Aimed at you again. It's a hypothetical, I suspect you're going to say, first of all, but as far as you can, to address directly that point.
Yes, it is a hypothetical, and I'm not going to parse a hypothetical or analyze it, but I will say think about it. Think about the support that NATO already gives to Ukraine. I talked for a moment ago about our support to defense institution building, but in addition to which, there are some very practical ways that NATO has been supporting Ukraine in terms of training. 1,000 experts have been trained. These are trainers who then provide additional training to your troops, to your military. Sir Malcolm Rifkin spoke a moment ago about how many changes have come about throughout the government of Ukraine, but the changes we have seen in the armed forces of Ukraine in order that you are able to be more efficient and effective in this hot conflict you have in the Donbass. That comes about not only because of NATO cooperation, but from support you get bilaterally from my own country, from the United States, from the UK, Lithuania, others very involved. And so we are already supporting Ukraine. As to what would happen in some future hypothetical scenario, I'm not going to go there.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. We'll get one more question out. I think the gentleman on the end there just by, yes. Oh, no, hold on. Sorry, if you're handing it over, you had a question yesterday. So I'll try and be a bit more democratic, and we'll bring over to the chap over here. Sorry, but there's a... Yeah, right behind you.
All right, so today we've been talking about the situation.
Sorry, where are you from?
I'm from 1+1 Media Ukraine. Okay, so today we've been talking about the situation between NATO and Russia, and my question is next. If any military, I'm talking right now not about the non-military, but military confrontation between NATO and Russia takes place, how Ukraine can be affected? Is it possible that some territories of Ukraine may face some military actions on its territory? Is that possible or not?
Well, it's a second hypothetical. I'm not sure we're going to get a very far in terms of an answer. Would anyone like to address that? I think that tells a story. Hypotheticals are perhaps not the best way to go. We will take one more question from the gentleman here.
Юрій Федун, місто Київ, громадська організація, громадська взаємодія людей з
Київ CSO of people with disabilities. Yesterday and today we've been speaking a lot about the military and defense sectors, but in Ukraine we have an issue with the humanitarian situation in this country, particularly in the east. So what I mean is that, and Mr. Turchynov is very well aware of that, the number of people who suffered because of the conflict is growing. Those who lost their health, those who suffered moral traumas, particularly children, and people tend to come to us asking about the strategy of humanitarian support to people who suffered as a result of this conflict, of those military actions, of the military aggression. We should remember that in this country we have a major crisis related to the military aggression. So I would like you to answer to my question about the plans to establish such a strategy of providing humanitarian support to the survivors. Thank you. Пане Турчин,
я хочу сказати, що у нас тут
I would like to say that we cooperate with our partners in this sphere a lot. Several NATO countries receive wounded military officers and soldiers, those who were injured during the military operations. They provide treatment in those in their respective countries, and this assistance is taking on a step and pace. And I believe that in order to address this issue, the president established or just vented an idea to establish the Ministry for Veterans Affairs, and it will cater to the veterans of the anti-terrorist operation and other military operations. We studied best practices of the U.S. and other countries, and we would like to use it in this country.
There is a saying which says you always want to leave people wanting more, and we're going to have to do that with the question here, because we have run over, as you know. Thank you for your questions. Do keep them coming through the course of the day. There'll be other opportunities to bring up some of these issues. For now, though, the end of a very strong panel session. Thank you to all of you for your contributions to our forum this morning. Many thanks indeed to one and all.